with our next guest. You can find him on Twitter at CFBMatrix. You can read him at CFBMatrix.com. It is Dave Bartu running the College Football Matrix. Dave, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dave.
Anytime, guys. Just coming in out of the fields right now, and you know, it's nice to be on the line with y'all.
Same thing with us, checking out a lot of practices here locally. There's some stability at Utah now after Kyle Whittingham's been around for 12 years now as the head coach and over 20 overall. But some new names at BYU for the first time in over a decade, a new head coach with Kalani Sitake. And we enjoyed your breakdown recently at the CFB Matrix about exactly what the impact is of a head coach. How did you guys define wins over replacement for a coach?
Oh, well, I mean, one of the things that we were, that I've been trying to do, and one of my followers and guys was listening to me on the radio, kind of reached out, and because scoring efficiency is, to me, when you're trying to define how good a team is, scoring efficiency versus the talent they're going up against is one of the biggest numbers that I think we have, and so what we started to do is looking at, okay, what is the scoring efficiency numbers available of an offensive coordinator, of a defensive coordinator, and trying to be able to grade these guys out so that when a game comes up, when a BYU plays, Team X or whatever, not only can you compare the head coach run, we can't right now because you got a brand new head coach, but you can also look at the coordinator's records, the defensive coordinator's records, try to get a better feel for the strengths and weaknesses of the game beyond just the talent and the coaching that I've always had the last, 10 years.
And Dave, you've got a couple articles up right now on the G5 and the P5, the Power of Conference Schools, on the effects that coaches have, games that the teams are expected to win versus the games they do win, and then games they're expected to lose versus the games they win. I think I'm surprised. Well, I don't want to say I'm surprised, but the numbers do kind of back up what a lot of fans locally think, is that Kyle Whittingham in the P5, he really gets more out of his talent than is expected of him.
Oh, he's wicked good. I mean, seriously, if you're a Ute fan, I mean, you got to not only be just excited to have this guy, but that he's sticking around. Because I'm sure he's had some other opportunities, and maybe one day he'll take advantage of one of those. But, he's been there a long time. And to me, what he gets out of his talent, not just now in the last, what is it, 4 years in the Pac-12, but the previous years, I think he's one of the best overall coaches in college football, getting more for less.
When it comes to getting more for less, we started talking about Utah State a couple of years ago with Gary Anderson and how well he was doing, and then it seemed like Matt Wells was carrying that on pretty well for the Aggies. How did he come out in your rankings?
Matt Wells is a freak. Dude, I can't believe somebody didn't grab him. I really, really can't. And maybe the right opportunity didn't come up, and he's waiting for something more specific. But what he's done, I mean, he's top of the G5 list. But that being said, I mean, you get some breaks here and there, but overall, I mean, that guy's done an amazing job. And actually, the story inside the story is, how has Utah State gotten him and Anderson right back-to-back? That's even more amazing. So, yeah, Wells is, you think Utah's, should be happy about having Whittingham. Utah State, every year you get to keep Wells is a huge plus. That guy has just been nothing but phenomenal so far.
Dave Bartu is our guest, 1320K fan, getting a breakdown from College Football Matrix. I'll tell you, Bronco Mendenhall has been a bit of a hot topic in the state of Utah over the last little while. Questions about, does he make BYU a better team? Is he a replacement-level coach? What did your numbers say about what BYU's losing when they lose a guy like Bronco Mendenhall?
Well, I had him as having the team perform just a little over a game per year past their talent level and their schedule. So, if they went 8-4, typically it was a season that was expected to be 7-5 based on BYU talent and the schedule they had. So he's a very positive coach, positive, I think it was 1.33 games per year over the last 3 or 4 years there at BYU. I didn't go back all the way with BYU and how long he had been there. But, I think they're losing a very good head coach. But you also lost the coordinators too. And when you look at the coordinator grades that we're putting out, there was a significant loss there. Now, whether or not that's going to be replaced, we've got no idea. You know, because you got a new head coach that hasn't been a head coach before. You know, all these new coordinators, there's really not a number to put next to them based on their experience. It's kind of a wait and see. But if your new head coach does as well as Bronco did, I do not expect him to do better. That's asking an awful, awful lot. If he does better, what an amazing hire. If he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised because I think Bronco did a very, very good job.
Have the numbers shown a change in the overall talent level at Utah since they've joined the Pac-12?
Oh, yeah. That's one of the things. See, you know, the Big 12 is like, oh, we can't add anybody. You know, what was it, the TV people saying we can't add anybody because it'll water it down? You know, but by the way, you already have the worst average talent level in college football anyways, at least Power 5, so shut up. But I wrote an article, I think it was last year, and it was addressing just this this kind of whining and complaining. When you look at Utah and you look at the two previous teams that went from non-Power 5 and got the call up to the major leagues, TCU and Louisville, the 4 years after they were brought into the Power 5, their average recruiting class was up nearly 40% on average. So, you know, you look at somebody like Cincinnati, for example, who's recruits in the 50s, that's a program that will be recruiting in the 30s inside of 4 years. Okay, they'll be at TCU's level of talent. They'll be at Oklahoma State level of talent. Houston will be even higher. They'll even be even better than that. They might be top 25 kind of talent. So, you know, Utah, when they made the move, you know, this is a program that was recruiting in the, you know, 60s and 70s and now pushes in the high 30s and 40s. And you couple that with a head coach that is well above average in terms of ability and winning football games, you know, it behaves more like a top 25 team. So that jump, getting that call up, let's say it's just into the Big 12 for some of these other teams, and this entire crap show the Big 12 is running right now, what a joke that is, but that's a different question, I guess. Utah had a big jump, and I think when it happens for the Big 12 teams as well, you're going to see big jumps there. Whoever they bring in.
You can find him on Twitter at CFB Matrix. Read him at CFBMatrix.com. Dave Bartu does some of the most unique and important work right now in college football. Dave, really great stuff.
Thanks,
appreciate
Dave.
Your time.
Take it easy, guys. Thank you for having me.
There he is, Dave Bartu.